Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow subscribe button and get us a like. Well, today we've got another great guest on the show, and you know who this guest is, because we are going to be, and I'll give you a little clue, united in purpose. Yes, you've heard her on here before. She is Lori Yarbrough. All right, Lori is back on the show. She is here to really give her wisdom on understanding marriage. And I think today it's going to be a good message for both men and women. But if I'm not mistaken, I think our target audience today is going to be women and understanding some pieces that will help them be strong in the Lord and work well and make that work well in their marriages. So, Lori, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
All right. Well, Lori, you have a message. I know we've already had some discussion here beforehand about it, so I'm just turning the floor over to you. Take it away.
Well, it's good to be here. Those of you who've been on before know that I've written a book on the biblical roles in marriage, God's blueprint for those roles. And today I want to focus on the part for the wife, one of the five A's for her, is being an advocate. And when we hear the word advocate, we usually think of someone who stands beside another person, supports them, fights for them, believes in them. And honestly, that's a beautiful picture of what marriage can look like. Biblically, a wife's advocacy goes far beyond helping with just daily responsibilities. It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's intentional. It's about becoming someone who strengthens her husband through prayer, encouragement, wisdom, and support. So let's walk through what Scripture says about this role and then talk practically about how wives can live this out in every day in their marriage. So the foundation begins there. So in Proverbs 31:26, Scripture says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." I particularly love that verse because it reminds us that advocacy often begins with our words. As wives, the way we speak to our husband matters deeply. Our words can either breathe life into them or slowly discourage them and tear them down. And let's be honest, life's already hard enough, and many husbands carry stress they don't even talk about openly. That's hard for men to share how they feel. They're designed to protect and provide, and so they want to be the umbrella. But who goes to the throne room on their behalf? So in Romans 8:34, it tells us that Christ intercedes for us. So we have an intercessor ourselves. Think about that. Jesus continually advocates for us before the Father. So when a wife prays for her husband, encourages him spiritually, and supports him emotionally, she reflects that same Christ-like love. So biblical advocacy isn't about control. It's about partnership. It's about becoming someone who strengthens rather than tears down. And one of the best biblical examples that I can think of is Abigail. She used wisdom in this situation. In 1 Samuel 25, we meet Abigail, and honestly, her story is such a powerful example of wisdom under pressure. Her husband Nabal acted foolishly towards David, and because of that, their entire household was suddenly in danger. And now Abigail could have panicked. She could have reacted emotionally. But instead, she stepped in with wisdom. She approached David humbly and spoke with discernment and ultimately prevented destruction. And I think there's such an important lesson there for marriage. Sometimes advocacy means bringing peace in difficult situations instead of adding more chaos. A wise wife has incredible influence, not through manipulation or force, but through wisdom, humility, and discernment. And one of the strongest ways wives advocate is through prayer. Another story that I love is the story of Esther. I've always loved that story because she shows us the power of courageous intercession. When her people were facing destruction, Esther fasted and prayed before stepping into a difficult situation. She seemed to understand something important. Spiritual battles are often won in prayer first. And T.S.U. and I talked about that earlier.
Amen.
And honestly, that applies so beautifully to marriage. Praying for your husband daily is one of the greatest acts of advocacy you can offer. Break into practical examples naturally. As one of the best biblical examples of, like I said, of Abigail and Esther, praying for his relationship, praying for wisdom at work, praying for protection over his mind and emotions, praying for his calling and his leadership. We don't realize sometimes, ladies, how heavy that load is for a husband. The five P's for men are provider, protector, prophet, priest, and professor in the home. Think about the weight that comes with that and how God holds him, you know, responsible for those things. So there are moments when husbands may never even realize the battles their wives are fighting for them spiritually. And yet those prayers matter so much. We were talking earlier, T.S. and I, about intercessory prayer, and that a lot of times growth in a church is directly connected to the intercessory prayer team. And so a wife in her own home is directly connected to her husband spiritually, and she's the head intercessor. It doesn't mean men don't intercede for their wives, but this is specifically something that as I've mentored women through the years, if you want to see change in your home, intercede on the behalf of your husband. Prayer reminds us that we're not helpless spectators in marriage. We're active participants in what God is doing. But advocacy isn't only spiritual. It's also deeply emotional through encouragement. In the Song of Solomon, we see the bride constantly affirming her husband. She speaks life over him. She celebrates his character and his strengths. And I'm going to say this. A lot of times we think, well, what if my husband doesn't have good character? Or what if he's not strong? What if he's not, you know, and you can fill in the blank. It doesn't say if he's doing everything right. She wasn't waiting for him to do everything right. She spoke life. And the word says, speak those things that are not as though they were. So she's speaking the future. She's prophesying over her husband and who he's being called to be. Because we need that ourselves. We're not everything we're supposed to be. And so it's important to have that she speaks over him and celebrates his character and his strength.
I'm going to add something to that. Because I can't say this enough. If God waited for perfection before he started to move and do mm-hmm. things and use a person, then there'd be nobody to choose.
Amen to that.
So there you go.
And honestly, encouragement is one of the simplest but most powerful things we can give in marriage. A text message saying, I'm praying for you today. A note in his lunch. A quick reminder that says, I believe in you. You never really know how much pressure someone may be carrying internally. And sometimes just a few encouraging words can completely shift someone's day. I was thinking about this the other day, and I was having a conversation with my husband, and we've been living, you know, where we're at for the past 28 years. And right after we moved here to the Nashville area, I didn't realize my husband was under a tremendous amount of stress and pressure. Just, you know, as we've made the transition, shifting from one job to another and how hard that was for him. And he didn't tell me until just recently, you know, that he had days where he just felt like he was going to quit. He just didn't know what else to do. And of course we had two kids and he couldn't quit, but he felt like it. And he never really shared that. So husbands, please share with your wives your concerns and the stresses because she's going to go to the throne room on your behalf.
Amen.
You never really know how much pressure someone may be carrying internally. And sometimes it's just a few encouraging words can completely shift someone's day. Biblical encouragement isn't fake praise. It's calling out the good you see in someone and reminding them of who God created them to be. But advocacy also means lovingly helping each other grow. So here's the gentle correction and accountability part of the show. Now, this part can be a little delicate, but it's important.
I love it.
Advocacy isn't just encouragement. Sometimes it also means gentle correction.
I like that. Gentle correction.
Gentle correction. In Acts 18, Priscilla and Aquila gently corrected Apollos with kindness and wisdom. They didn't shame him. They helped him grow. In marriage, there may be moments when a wife notices her husband becoming overwhelmed, emotionally distant, or consumed by stress. And advocacy means approaching those moments with love instead of criticism. There's a difference between nagging and nurturing. One tears down, the other restores. And another beautiful form of advocacy is supporting your husband's vision. In Judges chapter 4, Deborah encourages Barak to step into the calling God had placed on his life. She believed in him before he fully believed in himself. That kind of support is powerful. And sometimes husbands carry fears, insecurities, or uncertainty without pursuing their goals. And a supportive wife can become a source of courage during those seasons. Some practical examples are supporting a career move, encouraging ministry, standing beside him while he builds something new, celebrating even the small victories. And a personal example of that is years ago when we were still living in Dayton, Ohio. We had been seeking the Lord on direction for what was next for our life. We had sensed God was going to ask us to make a move, but we didn't know where that was going to be. And so my husband was driving back from Columbus, and he just felt, you know, he'd been in prayer for a while now, had been fasting, and the Lord just spoke to him and telling him he wanted us to move to Nashville, Tennessee. So he came home and we sat down that evening and he said, you know, I just wanted to talk to you about something I felt the Lord laid on my heart today. He said, I feel like God's calling us to Nashville, Tennessee. Now that my first response was not a good response. So don't follow my lead on that one, because I thought he was crazy. But, you know, he knows me well enough to know that he knew I would take it to the Lord, because, you know, and so it was not an easy move for us. We had established ourselves and now we were going to uproot ourselves and move. But we've been here now 28 years. I can't imagine living someplace else. But the one thing that I have learned through all these years is that I trust and respect my husband's decision making, even in the times where he's failed. And that's important, ladies, to understand that we learn a lot in failure, and how we respond to that when they've made a wrong step or a wrong decision or thought the Lord was leading a direction he wasn't. They don't need our criticism. They don't need to be reminded that they've made a mistake. They need to be told that they are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God, and that we all fall short at times. So when someone knows their spouse truly believes in them, it gives them strength to keep going. And advocacy also shows up during family conflict. One area we don't talk about enough is how wives often help bring peace into the home. Sometimes that means helping restore communication during tense times with teenagers. Sometimes it means calming emotionally charged situations. Sometimes it means helping family members understand each other better. So biblical peacemaking doesn't mean ignoring problems. It means pursuing healing with wisdom and grace. And ultimately, all this points back to Christ. So when we look at advocacy in marriage, we really see a reflection of Christ's love. He intercedes for us. He encourages us. He corrects us lovingly. He strengthens us, and he walks beside us faithfully. So to every wife listening today, never underestimate your influence. Your prayers matter. Your words matter. Your support matters. Advocacy in marriage isn't about perfection. It's about faithfully choosing to love, support, and strengthen one another day by day. And when we do that, marriage becomes more than a relationship, becomes a living testimony of God's love.
Amen. Amen. You know, so I anytime you talk about stuff like kind of give that picture, and you gave some great passages, it always takes me back to Genesis 2.
Mm-hmm.
When you slice it down and you narrow it down, it always goes back to Genesis 2. And, you know, even Jesus, when they asked him about marriage and asked him about divorce and stuff, he always took it back. He took it back to Genesis 2. He does. And so, you know, here's the thing. Genesis 1 is really about God's creation. All right. It's about him and him speaking it and it happening. He spoke it and it came to pass. That's really what that is. Genesis 2 is about God's intention.
Yes.
How everything's about how he intended it for it to originally be. Now, Genesis 3 became the conflict, and that competition thing you talked about happened in Genesis 3. So that's where it began. And the competition between the serpent and the woman.
Yep.
Competition between the man and the serpent. And then the conflict between man, woman, and then most importantly, man, woman, and God. And so, and that's the one you don't want is the God part. I'm going to say this. You do not want to be in competition with God. All right. Women, you might be able to win against your husband. And men, you may be able to win against your wife. You ain't winning against God. Okay. It's just, and the two of you together aren't going to win against God. So don't even go there. I mean, it's, he is going to win in the end. If you take him on, he will win the fight. And you may not like how he wins the fight, because he will get your attention if he needs to. And he has the power. And you know, I say, always tell people to look at it like this. With a very word, he spoke everything into existence. And with a very word, he can make it go out of existence.
That's true.
So we need to learn to come humbly in fear of the Lord. Because if we don't approach the throne of grace, and I love that, you talking about taking it confidently to the throne of grace and approaching the throne room, well, we also have to come in the throne in fear of the Lord, knowing what he's capable of doing if he has to, because his wrath is real. Okay, we have to understand God from a point perspective of wrath and judgment as much as we do love and mercy and grace. And he's all those things. And his love outweighs his wrath. And we know that because he gave up his son to die for us. In marriage, it's supposed to be a depiction of that. Marriage is supposed to be a depiction of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross.
Yeah.
And him laying his life down. All right. For the church and for all those that would believe in him. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever so believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. John 3:16 is a picture of that. And it's also a picture of marriage. Paul talks about this. All right. He gives those illustrations. The question becomes, do we want to represent that, what Paul is writing and stating about this? Do we want to represent that picture of sacrificial love? Or do we want to have to represent that one that God has to continually step in and correct because we don't apply the proper fear of the Lord? And that can be for the man or the woman, okay? That's not just, that's not one side or the other. That's both, okay? And so when we approach the throne, we always need to first realize we need to come in reverence and fear of the Lord. And I think that's such an important part of all this. And that still always goes back every time to Genesis 2. I don't know why Genesis 2 always comes to mind to me. So anyway, I'll throw that ball back in your court.
Well, that's true. And I think a good way to remember, too, is that our earthly marriage is a direct reflection of Christ and his church.
Amen.
And there's so many connections to that in every area of marriage, whether it's, like I said, you know, wife is the administrator, advisor, advocate, adjudicator, adapter, or a husband is provider, protector, prophet, priest, and professor. Those are, you know, I call the first two on both of those the housekeeping part of your role, provider, protector, administrator, advisor, and the rest, the other three for each of them are the spiritual aspects of things. And there's a weight that comes with that. And when we go boldly before the throne room of God, making our requests known to him, you have to, you know, T.S. is right. You have to come with a posture of reverence.
Amen.
With a posture of, this is the God of the universe. Does he love us? He does. but we owe him respect. We owe him reverence. We owe him obedience. He owes us nothing. Jesus paid the price for stuff that we did that we didn't earn, and we certainly don't deserve.
No.
So.
Amen.
Hopefully
amen.
This conversation encouraged you and gave you a fresh perspective on the beautiful role of advocacy in marriage. I know for myself, as I've walked this out all these years, that it's been a learning experience, but I know when I line up with his word, my marriage is so much richer, so much more blessed, so much more of an example of who Christ is when I'm focused on him first.
Amen. Amen. You know, I'm going to just say this, when we think about marriage, we need to always remember and think about if God is watching this and Christ is in the center, then are my actions, my words, and most importantly, is my heart in alignment with that, with their presence? You know, it says in the Psalm 100, I love this. And when we come into the Psalm 100, enter his gate, this is verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Are you blessing his name with how your attitude in your marriage? Are you blessing? Are you coming with an attitude of thanksgiving? We can't enter the gates without thanksgiving. We can't come into his courts without praise. So we have to have those things. And so are we coming with and reflecting that attitude in our marriage? If we're not, maybe what we really need is just that quick lesson or that quick reminder of being thankful.
Yes.
And understanding how to praise his name. We have to start right there. That is where everything starts. You know, it doesn't matter if I'm in the worst circumstance in the world, the first thing I need to do is I need to thank God, and then I need to praise his name.
Yes.
No matter what is going on, I have to start with that in mind. And then we start coming with our needs and our understandings and the help that we need from him. Because if we do it from a perspective of thanksgiving and praise, that opens the heart of God. And now he is ready to listen to our requests. And then we need to learn to pray his will and pray his word. Pray
yes.
his word over your circumstances. And when he tells you to receive it with thankfulness. Because when we receive it with thankfulness, we may not be receiving it physically yet, but we are receiving it in the spirit, and the physical part will eventually manifest itself in his timing. So we have to remember that. We have to remember that. And it'll be according to his will, always according to his will. So
yes.
I wanted to put that out there. That kind of hit me as just something that I thought maybe needed to be said here. So Lori, why don't you tell us where we can find your book, United in Purpose? Let's go ahead and cover that part here before we wrap up.
You can find it at loriyarbrough.com. And it's, like I said earlier, it's the five P's for husbands, the five A's for wives, the six C's that bind those two roles together so they can work in tandem. There's a chapter on intimacy, and there's also a chapter on love and respect and how we both husbands and wives need those two things, but we receive them differently. We translate them different.
Amen and amen. Guys, here's your call to action. Stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, wait till you pulled over. Go to loriyarbrough.com. That's loriyarbrough.com. Go there right now and get yourself a copy of United in Purpose right now. Well, Lori, thank you again for being back on our show. Love having you on the show. Of course, we'll be bringing you back for another message on marriage. Love to have you and your husband on here at the same time at some point. I think that would
that'd be
awesome to do that. Just a real quick message here about JesusSaid.tv. You may be watching this on JesusSaid.tv right now, or you may be listening to one of our audio podcasts. go to JesusSaid.tv. You can stream it. You can also download the app on your Roku. It is on the Roku. Download it. Watch JesusSaid.tv as we're adding more and more programming here. Obviously, if you haven't seen this particular episode, you're listening to it, it'll eventually be on JesusSaid.tv. And who knows, we may convince Lori here to run her own program on JesusSaid.tv here one of these days, because I believe that she and her husband could give a great marriage message about marriage on our program. Also, go to TSWrightSpeaks.com, TSWrightSpeaks.com. Go get yourself a copy of our discipleship book, Embracing the Truth. All right, you can go get Embracing the Truth right now. Get your copy. If you want bulk, go down below, message me. I'll give you a little bit better pricing, depending on how many you're going to order. Have them shipped directly to you. You can obviously go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those places to pick up a copy as well. But definitely check out tswrightspeaks.com. It talks about our ministry. You can message me about other things. Well, it's time to wrap up. Lori, thank you again for being on the show. We want to thank everybody for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.